Let me open up your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll start off there. Get into what we need to see. The things I have to say today, I mean, really, it's nothing new, profound, or deep, or anything like that, but really, I think more of it, just a charge for us to understand what it is to have a mind to sacrifice. In other words, living our lives a living sacrifice. It goes right into the commandment that Mike just shared with us about not be weary and well-doing. I mean, it really falls along those same lines. But what I wanted to do before I get started is that we talk about having this mind to sacrifice, not that you're sacrificing your mind, but your mind is there to sacrifice, in a sense, for our serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to thinking about some of the different phrases that have the word mind in it when I was preparing this message this past week. And, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of things like mind over matter, that sort of thing. I mean, it's kind of a popular phrase, you've heard of that. But sometimes, you know, if you're out of sight, out of mind. I mean, sometimes I do that. Like if I park my car somewhere, I'm not going to leave valuables in sight because people break in and steal it. So if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. They don't think about it, that sort of thing. You've probably heard of mind your own business. Okay, I'm sure you've heard that. It kind of goes along with also mind your own beeswax. Have you heard that before? Yeah, you heard that. As well as once you make up your mind. You know, I remember when Trish was pregnant. And we'd go out to eat somewhere. It was it was crazy. She didn't have these cravings. She didn't know what she wanted. And so we sit there for like 10, 15 minutes just trying to decide what she was going to eat. You know, so it's kind of like, will you make up your mind? Anyhow, would you mind? It's kind of like that. Maybe you're reading something and somebody's looking over your shoulder. It's like, would you mind? You know, I mean, like, get your own paper, that sort of thing. And then there's mind games. You know, I'm sure you've heard that. People play mind games. I mean, John was talking about that far as work, and it kind of reminds me of that phrase right there, that people playing mind games. What are they up to? That sort of thing. And there's also pay no mind. Mind your P's and Q's. I don't know why, not the rest of the alphabet, but mind your P's and Q's. All right? Mind your manners. Usually tell our kids that probably all the time. I need you to bear in mind something. Like, I'd like you to bear in mind some of the things we're going to talk about today. We have peace of mind. You know, I mean, people want to have peace of mind. In my mind's eye. Have you heard that one before? Yes. I see this in my mind's eye. So that's another good one. I got like 30 of these phrases, you know. You know, set your mind on it. Being open mind, or being open-minded. And this is a great one. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Now, that's not a great thing to do if you only have half a mind, okay? You don't have that much mind to give. Away. You got to keep in mind. Never mind. What do you have in mind? You're out of your mind. What are you thinking? Put your mind to it. I'm losing my mind. Okay? Mind your step. Mind-boggling. Oh, that was mind-boggling. You know, and then of course it's like, what? Have you lost your mind? Probably say that to our teenagers most of the time, you know? What were you thinking? Have you lost your mind? Are you in your right mind? That's something actually we see in the Bible, being in the right mind. Get a load off your mind, okay? But probably one of my favorite ones, and probably the most popular ones, I'm sure you've heard, especially if you're old school like me. This phrase became a motto back in 1974, I think it is, for the United Negro College Front. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. I think you've heard that phrase before. I mean, I remember growing up when I was a kid hearing that. You know, all the commercial would come on TV, and that's still their motto. That, I mean, I think the organization started in 1943, but in 1979, that's when that became their motto, or 1974, and it's been ever since. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. And, and talking about the mind, the Bible has a number of phrases that deal with the mind. I just thought of a couple more this morning when I was teaching the kids. But, honestly, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. One of our memory verses, Acts 17:11, which is the memory verse for the Wild Kids this month, about, you know, receiving the word with what? Readiness of mind. There's humbleness of mind. There's a vanity of your mind, which we're going to look at here in a second. Obviously, being right mind, like-minded, one mind, and renewing of your mind. So there's a number of phrases in the Bible that talks about dealing with the mind. And so as we look at this, I want you to first, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, as we get into what we need to see today, it says this. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, in the emptiness of their mind."
your mind truly is a terrible thing to waste, especially having the mind of Christ, which is the Word of God. And we've got to understand today, as we talk about being a living sacrifice, that we've got to understand that it's about our mind, in a sense of where our thoughts take place. When I think about the mind, I mean, I have this, in a sense, kind of this Trinity chart that I have. In other words, it goes like this. Your thoughts lead to your attitudes. Attitudes can lead to actions. If you have bad thoughts, you're going to have bad attitude. And what's going to match what kind of result? Bad actions. But if you have biblical thoughts, things are having biblical attitudes and having biblical actions. And God has made us a Trinity. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. And that adds right up to that again. Thoughts, attitudes, and actions. And I think of God's Word, and three words that I continue over and over again, you see in the book of Proverbs, is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Having the knowledge of the Word of God, that I get the thoughts of the Word of God in my mind. And then it develops into my attitude or my soul and really understanding what the Word of God is saying. And then that leads to my actions as far as my body is concerned. And then having wisdom. Wisdom is the application of the Scripture that you understand. And so as we talk about having a mind to sacrifice and living our lives a living sacrifice, it really starts in the mind. Because it is easy for us to get tired. It's easy for us to maybe get weary. If my flesh had its choice right now, it would be in bed sleeping. Okay? Because I'm tired. I'm not gonna lie about that. But you know what? This is what I need to do. There are times that, you know, I look at going to work, it's like, man, work, I know it's going to be tough tonight. It's going to be a busy night. A lot going on. And it's like, man, it'd be nice just to kind of sit at home, maybe call in sick, and, you know, I got plenty of sick time, but, you know, I can't do that. That's going to affect other people. There's times, you know what, that's like, I really don't want to go to karate class. I'm tired. But you know what? And I'm a guy that evaluates, God, what do you want me to be involved in? And I think and I believe that's something I need to be involved in because it's a great ministry opportunity. And it's like, sometimes, you know, it's hard, but you know what? My mind is going to say, you know what? I have to have a mind to sacrifice. Willing to give up some things, and usually seems like it's sleep, to be able to do the things that I know that God has called me to do. Now, the last time I preached a message, we talked about how many hours do we have in a week? Who remembers? Calculate real quick. 168. What do you do with those hours? Okay? There are things that God wants you to do, and you got to be willing. You know what? I'd rather my flesh do this or whatever, this sort of thing. But it's like, you know what? I'm supposed to live my life a living sacrifice. Now turn over to Romans chapter 12, which is our text. Let's read verses 1 and 2. We'll have a word of prayer. And we'll get started in the things that we need to see this afternoon. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The two things that we're going to be looking at primarily is the presentation, presenting your body a living sacrifice, and transformation, transforming your life from the course of this world according to that which is Christ by the renewing of our mind. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started in what we need to see. Father in heaven, I do thank you, and I do praise you for the day. I thank you for the opportunity to come here, the fellowship that we have in this body. I thank you for a time of praise and just the time most assuredly being in the Word of God. Lord, I simply pray this, that you would take the things that you have shown me over the course of this last week, and really this is a message I had prepared some month or so ago, Lord, that you take those things and to be able to clearly and effectively lay those things out. Lord, honest, you know, I am tired. I really, these will not be the most favorable conditions that I would like to preach your word under. But Lord, that's the situation. And I pray that you help me to be able to focus on your word to declare that which you have shown me. And Lord, and maybe things that I didn't see that need to be said today, Lord, that those things will take place. I need this message more than anybody in this room. And Father, I just pray that we would exercise ourselves into the listening of your word, that our mind, that we would be like the Bereans, that we receive the word with all readiness of mind. Be ready to search the scriptures daily, whether these things are so. So, Father, I pray that you would help that answer our prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we see in verse 1 is this presentation, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And we see Paul's request. He says, I beseech you, talking to the Romans, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, when we see that word therefore, you know that we got to go back and see the context of why it's therefore. And then, of course, before we have chapter 12, we have chapter 11. Oh, we got grace for you. This man's moved. He's fired. He's probably tired than I am. And he's the only person that I hear. It's not a trick question. Okay, we'll try it again. All right? What precedes chapter 12 is chapter? Thank you. All right, chapter 11, okay? And in chapter 11, what does chapter 11 talk about? I mean, everybody, I think, in here, for the most part, has been through D2 and that sort of thing, or doctrinal truths, excuse me. And what is chapter 11 about? What's the main thing it's talking about? You know David's not going to answer. And what?
Mystery.
What mystery? Vinus of Israel. All right, I think we got that mystery in there. I want you to know specifically what it says, because Paul directly, and as we've been through Romans and are keeping the word this year, has given us commandments specifically in chapter 11 around dealing with this mystery of dealing with the nation of Israel and their blindness. Notice, we'll pick it up in verse 18 of Romans chapter 11, just to get some context before we get into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says in verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches are broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Okay, that is the commandment that is given there in verse 20. And again, it falls right into our theme, our vision for this year about fearing God. Verse 21, for if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which felt severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Okay? There's a warning that's given there. That is the context for us. The commandments that's given to us in chapter 11 around this mystery of dealing with the blindness of Israel and how God's going to graft them back in together. We need to make sure that we're not high-minded, but we need to fear. Okay? We need to continue in that. And it's in that kind of context that we come to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. First of all, we look at these mercies and just breaking this thing down in Paul's request here. We're dealing with God's mercies, plural. All right? We have God's mercy in order for us for salvation on the first part. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. The first aspect that we see God's mercy, we need to understand in terms of our salvation, coming to Christ, the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, we pick it up in verses 4 and 5, it says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. So we see how, again, God's mercy playing that part in dealing with our salvation. But we do not only need God's mercy for our salvation, we need God's mercy, plural, on a daily basis. Who here thinks that they can go a day without God's mercy? I mean, if you think you can, then you have no understanding of your relationship with Christ. You have no understanding of the sinful nature that you're walking around in. God's mercies. Look at Lamentations real quick. Jeremiah, the author of Lamentations, I mean, going through the dealing with the nation of Israel, being carried away into captivity, and just the anguish that that he deals with in that regard. Look at Lamentations chapter 3, and notice what it says there. Lamentations chapter 3, you need to pick it up in verse 22 and 23. And this is so of a truth. It is of the Lord's mercies, plural, that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful to give us his mercies on a daily basis. Because you know what? It's easy for us to sin, whether it be in thought, attitude, or action. And we need God's mercies, plural. For us who are parents, even as young kids. We understand that. You know, I remember, I'm sorry I got to tell a story of my son, but I remember when he was just 2 years old, almost 2 years old, but he had Ephesians 6:1 memorized. And, of course, as two-year-olds do, I mean, he did something wrong. I can't even remember what it was, but he did something wrong. And so we do the whole discipline thing. You know, we take him aside, you know, now, what does Ephesians 6:1 say? And he said, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And it was the first time he said that verse perfectly. And I was also happy, you know, we did our little discipline thing. And all right, and he said the verse, he got it memorized. Guess what he did as soon as I was done with him? Went out and did the same thing. And I'm like, ah! We just went through the verse and everything, and it's like that. And there's times, you know, this is why God makes kids cute. So we don't kill them. All right? That's why God makes kids cute. So we don't kill them. All right? You know, and there's those times, you know, they can have the worst day. And then you see them laying in the bed and sleeping. They look all so fresh. And, you know, that's what God does, okay? But you know what? He looks at us the same exact way. I've learned so much about my relationship with God the Father and how He looks at me because I have a son. All right? And I know it's like, man, I thank God for His mercies. And I think any of us, honestly, sitting here and realizing the things and the stupid things we do, even some that we know better, it's because of the Lord's mercies, plural, that we are not consumed every day. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Paul's request, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not that you just go out and do something stupid and die for, quote unquote, the cause of Christ. You're not talking about getting an airplane ticket, going over to Iran to where preaching the gospel is illegal and they'll probably kill you if you do that on the street. We're not talking about doing that sort of thing. But every day, being a living sacrifice, that you are dedicating your day and living for the Lord. And I know there's times it can be wearisome. I know there's times if you're really actively thinking, you know, getting up and spending time in the Word of God and even spend time in prayer and you go to work or school, wherever the case is, and trying to be a witness and a testimony and just growing your walk and relationship on a daily basis. I mean, that's what He requires, living your life a daily sacrifice. There's not a vacation day. God doesn't say, okay, I'm going to give you some vacation days. It's not like when I go to work. Every pay period, I accrue vacation time and sick time. And it's time when I'm able to take it off to do whatever I want. I don't have to go do policing things on my day off or my vacation days. Okay? Being a Christian, it's not like, okay, if you put in so many times in the Word of God in prayer this week, then I'll let you, Charles, accrue some vacation time where you don't have to do anything biblically. No! From the moment I got saved, my day has to be that I'm a living sacrifice and I'm seeking to grow in that relationship with Christ and being able to do the things that He has called me to do. Paul is beseeching the Romans here that, hey, present your bodies a living sacrifice. How to do that? Holy. Holy, that word. Set aside for God's use. You're going to present your body a living sacrifice. How do you need to do that? You need to be holy. That doesn't mean that you're just sitting in a closet somewhere praying. That means your life is dedicated to serving God. Yes, you have to go to work. Yes, you have to pay the bills and things like that. But even in those things, how can you be a witness and a testimony to somebody else? You know what? It's been interesting. One thing we do as police officers, we do business checks for the gas stations in our city that stay open 24 hours a day. And I've had two opportunities at one gas station to witness to the people that were working there. And then after I had those opportunities, guess what? Their shift hours, one of them got changed, so it's in the evening times where I don't see that person anymore. I mean, I have to make a special trip on my time off to go in to continue to try to develop a relationship and continue to get the gospel. The other guy, he was stupid and got fired. Okay, so that opportunity is gone. Okay, I got a chance to share the gospel with him once, and that's been it. There's another guy named Kevin at another convenience store that, I mean, this is great. This happened just a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, he's got himself into some situation, whatever, as far as with his girlfriend. And anyhow, he started talking to me. He did a ride-along with me once. But long story short, I was able to lay out the gospel that whole night. Everything was going great. And then I got a call for a drunk lady
pass out, and I had to go deal with that, you know. And but he, before I left, he says, "Hey, you know, I'm working Monday night too. Come back. We need to finish this." So I go in there Monday night, and guess what Mr. Satan makes sure happens? As soon as I get in there, you know, getting ready to talk to him, it's like, "Hey, how's things going? How's the doctor's appointment?" All of a sudden, 2212, can you copy a call? I'm like, "No." 2212 was my radio number. You know, that's why they call me. And I'm like, I had to go. I said, "Well, man, I'm going to try to get back here. I'll take care of try to get back there." Never did. Because I kept on calling, and that was the rest of the night. And then when I go back in the next week, he's not there. Why? Change shift. Evening time shift. When I'm asleep. Okay? It's like, I'm going to have to make a special trip, because that laying out that gospel, I mean, he was there. I mean, he was understanding. He was wanting to know more. So I have got to live my life a sacrifice and sacrifice some time to get in there at an evening time to be able to continue to make contact to deal with this situation. What? You never know what kind of opportunities that you're going to have. And if our mind is closed to that, and we're going around thinking about my agenda, my schedule, what I have to do, God's trying to say, "Hey, I got some divine appointments for you. I got some people I want to meet," and we're closed off to this because why? Our mind is not being ready to sacrifice. That our bodies will be presented as a living sacrifice, holy, set aside for God's service. Now, I want to go back to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. And talking about having and being holy, a living, presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy. We need to learn something from the Israelites in the time of Malachi. Look at Malachi chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 7. It says, "Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" You know your governor wouldn't. Why is it that we can sacrifice and give ourselves, give our best, for the boss man, or for work, or for whatever, but we don't do that for the Lord, who saved us, who died on the cross for us, suffered our death in hell. We will do everything. We will go to work sick. We will sacrifice and do all kinds of things for the boss, for a paycheck. But yet we don't do and give God the best that we have to offer for Him. It's like, I love it when I have a quiet night. I mean, I pray, "Lord, just give me some time during the night that I can stay. I can park my car, and I spend my best time just in the Word of God. The things that I'm just reading, just on a devotional basis and that sort of thing, whether it's Psalms or, you know, I'm in the Gospels as well. And then hopefully have some time later that night to take some time to pray. Just to have some good time and pray." I mean, I love those times. And it's like, I'm awake, I'm ready to go, that sort of thing. I can't say that, you know, I mean, I do it if I don't have a choice, but I don't like when I get home, when they don't have that opportunity during my shift, you know, during my lunch break or whatever, and I get home and I'm trying to read the Word of God after I've been up for over 8 hours. I'm not going to get certain things in there. And just like this morning, I'm glad I had an opportunity to read and study and things last night. When I got home this morning, I was like, man, looking at my notes. 10 minutes has gone by and I reviewed point one. Lord, I really need to stay awake because I gotta do this in a few hours. Okay, I want to review here. I mean, it's just not my best. It's like giving God my leftovers. It's like offering the blind, the lame, and all that. And how often is it that we will do everything else for, whether it's for ourselves or to please a boss or somebody else, and then when it comes to God, we save it for maybe the end of the day when we're not at our best and we really get nothing from the Word of God. We're just kind of putting in time and getting nothing out of it. That's like the Israelites back in Malachi. Offering God the lame, the blind. No, that's not the kind of sacrifice God wants. He wants you to be holy, set aside. I remember a devotion, and it's been a few years ago. I think it was probably the first time we did a picnic on our fifth Sunday. And Cherie gave a devotion out of dealing with Moses and God calling us to the mountain, and he says, "Be there.
And she talked about when we spend time in the Word of God, in our devotion time, that we actually need to be there. That has stuck with me ever since. And it's like when I come to the Word of God, or in prayer, I want to make sure that I'm actually there, and I'm just punching the clock and saying, well, I have my Bible time, my prayer time today. I want to get something out of it. I want to be there. We got to be holy, set aside, ready for God to hear us, or for God for us to hear God. You go back to Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. How? Holy, and it says, acceptable unto God. Acceptable. This reminds me of going back to Genesis chapter 4 here and dealing with Cain and Abel and their sacrifices. Look at it real quick. Genesis chapter 4, we'll probably pick it up around verse 3. He wants us in our sacrifice, a living sacrifice, to be holy, and he wants it to be acceptable. In Genesis chapter 4, we have Cain and we have Abel, and they're coming to give their sacrifices to God. And it says, we'll pick it up in verse 3 of Genesis 4, it says this, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruits of the ground an offering unto the Lord, the same ground that God cursed. And it says, and obviously he didn't bring that which was required. Verse 4, it says, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Like, if you do that which is required, which I have laid out and given, then your offering, your sacrifice will be acceptable. It'll be accepted. But Cain didn't do that and bring that which was accepted. And so goes on to looking at us and, you know, our side. God does not ask us to bring a lamb or to bring an animal to a place, to the temple, to have a sacrifice or anything like that. Not at all. But what does God want? He wants us to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. How is that? Well, turn to Romans chapter 14. We just read this in our scripture reading today. Romans chapter 14, look at it in verse 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, physical, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Again, those are those three things that remain forever, the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we compare that to the gold, silver, precious stones, and the things that we talked about. Now, verse 18, it goes on and says, for he that in these things serveth Christ is what? Acceptable to God and approved of men. It's acceptable. It's an acceptable sacrifice. Why? That we focus on the three things that last. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing that truth with others, and investing the truth of the Word of God in other people. The gold, the silver, the precious stones, okay? As it's laid out right there, verse 17, and dealing with it being a righteousness and a peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is what God wants us to do. Prepare ourselves in and to live our lives a living sacrifice. That's how we're going to be holy and acceptable to God. If you are working and doing those things, you can walk around knowing that you're doing that which God is pleased with. And not being like Cain, trying to offer up something that you have done out of your own flesh and try to say, this is something for the Lord. No. You go back to Romans chapter 12. We've got to move on or I'll never get done. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the first point of dealing with presenting your body a living sacrifice is Paul's request, you know, by the mercies of God, our responsibility as far as being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and then what's reasonable. This word reasonable is the only time it appears in the Bible. The only mention of the word reasonable is right here. What does the word reasonable mean? The word reason. When you think about reasoning, it's something that's logical, something that you think on. This is what you need to do. This is reasonable. This is not over and above. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, this is our reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing that we need to be doing. It is not, you know, over and above. Okay? It's like you think of, you know, you can go into the military. You can go into the army. Okay? But then maybe you can be like a ranger. That's kind of like a little bit over and above. You can go into the Navy. Okay? And be a soldier in the sense of the Navy. But maybe you have it to be a Navy SEAL. Obviously, that's a little bit more than just being a regular part of the Navy. Now, sure, all the different armed services have kind of their elite forces and that sort of thing. Folks, when you're a Christian, it's not just being part of the regular army. You are supposed to be the elite. I mean, what we're supposed to do is reasonable. Not over and above. Oh, man, look at me. Some people, I mean, as Christians think, oh, I go to church, and maybe I give a little bit of money, and I read my Bible here and there, sing some hymns, and man, I'm a super Christian. No! That's just, I don't even know what to call it. I mean, that's a given. That's not over and above. That's not even reasonable. God defines what's reasonable by presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, focused on those things that remain forever at the judgment seat of Christ. That's reasonable. Why is it reasonable? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is nothing new. This is nothing deep and profound. It's what we ought to be doing every day of our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This is why this is reasonable. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You do not belong to you. You belong to the Lord. Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Goes back to your mind. And we'll define that from the Word of God in a little bit here. As far as your spirit and your mind. And then obviously your body dealing with your actions. It's your reasonable service to present yourself a living sacrifice. Why? Because ye are not your own. You belong to God. You have been bought with a price. Well, what's that price? Understand what Jesus Christ did for you on a cross? How he suffered death and hell for you on a cross? We can't even fathom what hell's like. We can't. Well, you see, the Bible talks a lot about hell in there. But we can't really fathom and understand and grasp what hell is like. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. And that's why it is reasonable for us to present our bodies every day a living sacrifice, holy, set aside, acceptable unto him. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, we see, again, presenting our body. Paul is just giving a request of what we need to do by the mercies of God. And then in verse 2, it gets into the transformation. Paul reminds them and says, and be not conformed to this world. I mean, obviously it's easy for us to be conformed to this world. We were made from this earth, dirt. That's why we naturally go back there when we die. I mean, we decompose and just go right back into what we're made out of. But obviously, spiritually, speaking and all that sort of thing, is that it's easy for us to just be, in a sense, part of the world because we have the sinful nature, and this world is on a course against God. It's easy for us just to meld into that instead of, you know, living our lives a living sacrifice. And Paul is reminding the Romans, says, hey, be not conformed to this world. I mean, it's like, unfortunately, a lot of churches these days that they think they're going to reach people by making church more like what people see in the world, making a big entertainment and all that. They're conforming to the world to try to so they can try to reach people for Christ. I'm all for reaching people for Christ. But let's not compromise the Word of God and what we need to be doing in order just to try to reach people for Christ. Make it more worldly. Hey, the Bible says, and be not conformed to the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll pick it up in verse 1 this time. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 4. It says this, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is speaking to the Christian. Wherein in time past, and it should be your past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had, past tense, our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Remember, thoughts, attitudes, actions. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace, or by grace ye are saved. But again, we're saved from that. Okay? We've been quickened, okay? Not walking according to the course of this world. And Paul's reminding the Romans, hey, don't be conformed to this world. Because here's how it is. It's one of our memory verses. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're not walking in the Spirit, guess what you're naturally going to do? There is no middle ground. There's no little gray area. Either we are walking in the Spirit or we are walking in the flesh. Either or. Every moment of the day. Either we're walking in the Spirit or we're walking in the flesh. Either we're trying to conform to this world or we're trying to be transformed. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to live our lives a living sacrifice, as Paul is beseeching the Romans to do, then we cannot be conformed to this world. We need to be transformed. Demas didn't learn that lesson too well. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Into Paul's life. Paul giving a last minute charge to Timothy and wanting him to come to him and bring the parchments and some other things. But he says this of Demas. Demas, whose name means popular. Right? To be popular with the world instead of pleasing God. He says this of Demas. Demas is a quick character study. He's only mentioned, what, three times in Scripture? Once in Colossians, once in Philemon, and here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is the culmination of Demas. For Demas hath forsaken me, serious business there, as we talk about the doctrine given to us by Paul in his dispensation of grace, having loved this present world. You see, out of sight, out of mind. He wasn't looking to the eternal. He wasn't grasping the judgment seat of Christ with his mind's eye. Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. And I always find that interesting. Because Thessalonica, that name means victory. And you're never going to have victory trying to be popular in the world. Not going to happen. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, going back. By the renewing of your mind, okay? Our mind is, again, it's flesh, alright? It naturally deals with the things of this world, and it wants to deal with those things, and you've got to realize that. And if you think you're above that, that you can get sucked in as a Christian to the things of this world, you're losing the battle right now. You got to realize, every day you wake up, you have to deal and combat the conformity to this world. And you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why it's important to daily be in the Word of God. That's why I have that as a goal for the WOW ministry, even now, as kids. But they can learn that it's important to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. Do not let a day go by without being in the Word of God, because your mind needs to be renewed. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll pick it up in verse 17, our introductory verse to this message, but we're going to read on. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. That verse will tell you right there that as a Christian, you can be walking in the vanity of their minds like other Gentiles. And trust me, Gentiles get into some very vain things. It was interesting in teaching the kids, Otto today said, I forget exactly what we were saying, but he says, oh yeah, because most crime happens at night. And I go, that's very perceptive, Otto. I mean, yeah, there's crime that happens in the day, but yes, there's a lot that happens at night. And the things that people get into and what this flesh can get into is just amazing. And I don't sit here for one moment thinking, oh, I can never get into that situation.
I'm the same flesh, same mind. My mind needs to be renewed daily basis. Ephesians 4, verse 18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Lasciviousness, a nice big word. You know what? We still use that in law today. There's people that get charged for lewd and lasciviousness. Okay? Wicked things, lustful things that happen. And they do it in a public place and don't seem to care. It says, verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of what? Of your mind. I told you, I'll show you from the Word of God where we talk about your spirit acquitted to dealing with your mind. Alright? And you need your spirit renewed. The spirit of your mind renewed. And how is that going to happen? Verse 24. And that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay? You have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the clothing that we need to put on. Put off the old man, put on the new man, having our mind renewed. How does that happen on a practical basis? Of course, getting in to the Word of God. But I want you to look at another reference back in Romans. Romans chapter 8 this time. We talk about some of the phrases that in the Word of God as far as dealing with the mind. Here's another a couple of phrases. Whether you're going to be carnally minded or spiritually minded. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. It says this. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You want to please God? Be spiritually minded. Not carnally minded. We've got to have our mind renewed. How does that happen? Being in the Word of God. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Again, very familiar verse. Again, nothing new today. The things that we need to understand and be reminded of on a daily basis and actually need to do. Notice what it says in having the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Most people have that verse memorized, but obviously the sentence does not stop there. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we see, having the mind of Christ is about being a servant. Having the mind of Christ is about understanding what it is to be a sacrifice. Now, obviously, he physically, literally died, sacrificed himself for us. But what is God wanting us to do? Present ourselves a living sacrifice. If I'm going to have the mind of Christ and have a renewed mind, that means I got to have the mind of Christ and I'm going to be living sacrifice. That word sacrifice means it costs you something. I do not know what God is asking you to do.
I can't handle what he wants me to do. Okay? As a husband, as a father, as the areas of responsibility that he has given me, that he's literally trained me up in. And it's amazing to think about the things that I've learned and did when I was in Canada, the exact same things that I'm doing here, as far as policing, as far as karate, obviously ministry, that's a given. That's what I'm doing here. And those are things that he has given me to do. And maybe it'll change someday. That can happen. That drummed for a long part of my life, and it was great for the time that I needed it. To be honest with you, I don't really do music. I don't play drums a lot, except for a rock band every now and then. But that's a different story.
But I don't do that. And it's not that it's been a waste, but God taught me discipline through music. And it's that discipline that has transferred into what I do in the Word of God and my study time with Him. Okay? That's how God used music, and but He's not using it anymore. Okay? Now, there's this quiet in my life, and God's used that a lot of different areas and being able to reach people. But there may be a time that, probably when I'm like 80, that I'm probably not going to be doing karate too much. Okay? Sorry, there won't be any women's self-defense class when I'm 80 years old. Okay? I won't let you hit me anyway. I won't have that happen. I have a broken hip or something. But there may be a time where God says, you know what, Charles, you don't need to be doing karate anymore. That's not in the plan anymore. You've done that. I don't know. But until then, that's what He's given me to do. You know what? And sure, I would love to say, you know what, man, I wish I really didn't have to go to a karate workout before I have to go to work. But, you know, God reminds me. Last week, one of my new adult guys in my class, named Eric, promoted him from his white belt to a yellow belt, his first grading and everything like that. And for adults, I require you to give me an essay as part of your grading. You know, sometimes I give a specific subject. But for him, I said, hey, just give me, what has karate meant to you this far? In these 6 months you've been training, just kind of give me a general 2-page essay and whatever. And so he goes, you know what? The newsletter that you talked about, Balance, really touched my life. And that's what I'm going to write on. So he emailed me his essay and dealing with that. And it's like, you know, sometimes I think I do these newsletters because I always take a biblical principle, the Word of God, and relate it to something that you're doing in karate. And it's just, again, it's just a means of an outreach. And sometimes I think, who actually ever reads these things, you know? But hey, God laid down my heart to do it. And I can give you reminders of that. I have another new gentleman that just started karate this week. His daughter has been in there for a while, and now he's joining in so he can get closer with his daughter and stuff like that, so they can do that together. And he shared with me last week, Thursday, that he was talking about how him and his wife, they're going to church and getting their lives cleaned up and want to do what's right and everything like that. And I go, hey, you know what? Did you realize I'm a pastor? Really? You know, so again, just start to develop. I wouldn't have that if I wasn't doing that karate. And looking at it as an opportunity to minister. And you know what? The time, it literally is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of time. It's a sacrifice of sleep. But here's what I figure. You know what? There's going to be plenty of time to rest either when I'm dead or I'm in heaven. There'll be my rest. And there's work to do. And if God has given that for me to do, I need to do it. And I honestly, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, not having my priorities straight or anything like that. I think you guys understand that. You know, and honestly, that's something I always got to keep in mind, is making sure priorities are straight for my wife and my son, and that's first and foremost. But quite frankly, people, we live in a Christianity that we don't understand what it is to have a mind to sacrifice and to serve the Lord. We don't. We're a fast food society. We want everything now.
I use this as an illustration of my Friday class. My wife, she gave me the third season of MacGyver.
You remember MacGyver? They make fun of it on Saturday Night Live. MacGruber, you know. MacGruber, what are we going to do? We got 3 seconds before the bomb's going to blow up, you know. And I was watching MacGyver. I used to watch it all the time, you know, in the 80s. You got the mullet going on and the great clothing and all that other stuff. I was watching an episode the other day, just while I was eating lunch, and I never realized how slow the action is in that show compared to today. It's like you would lose the audience today watching a show like MacGyver because it's so, he's going through the ship. And it's taking 5 minutes for him to search out in the ship. And he finally comes up on this little monster, and then there's this lady and stuff like that. But it's like, that would never wash today. It's not enough action. Because we live in that kind of, we want everything right now. Right now, right now, right now. We don't know what it is to sacrifice. We don't. But that's what God wants us to do. Present ourselves a living sacrifice. We have to have our mind renewed. I gotta move on. Again, we're in Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You guys are familiar with it. It's interesting that it is verse 8 because 8 in our Bible numerology is the number of new beginnings. And it gives you 8 things that we need to be thinking about. It's talking about having our mind renewed. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay? So we're talking about, again, we have to have our mind renewed. If we're going to get to a place that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service on a daily basis, it's all right here. Our mind. The spirit of our mind needs to be renewed. Not conformed to this world, doing the things out of the world would have you to do, But how does God want you to do? What does He want you to do? Have your mind renewed. And when that happens, you're able to do what's right. You're able to understand what is right. You understand what God wants you to do. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, one more time. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God in this verse is described as three things. It's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. It's doing what's right. But we won't know how to do what's right if we don't have our mind renewed. Have a mind willing to be a living sacrifice and to spend the time in the Word of God in prayer and just getting edified and built up and all the things that we do as a church. I mean, so that we can come to a place that we understand what is right and what we need to do. The will of God is, it's good. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It's talking about the will of God and what Jesus Christ has done for us. Again, it gets back into why it's a reasonable service to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins." Sacrifice. That He might deliver us from this present evil world. You know why that's not a given? That He might? Because it depends on us doing what is right. Not for salvation, but continuing to live. Again, if you're a Christian and you're sitting there thinking that, oh, I'm saved and I don't have to be worried about being touched by this present evil world, you're being foolish. You are being foolish. Again, picking it up in verse 4, it says, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Doing that good will of God, being delivered from this present evil world so that you're not being conformed to it. He sacrificed Himself for that, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Look at Ephesians. I'm talking about this will of God being good. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 5 through 7. Ephesians chapter 6. Talking about this good will of God. Ephesians chapter 6, again, picking it up in verse 5, it says this, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." We can relate this, obviously, to our jobs. "With fear and trembling and singleness of your hearts as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." How? With good will. Doing service as the Lord and not to men. Okay? Good will. Well, I wouldn't know what God's will is. Again, in the Word of God. We spend time in the Word of God. Doing the will of God with good will. Okay? Taking the truth of the Word of God and applying it to our lives. Not only is the Word of God or the will of God good, it's also that which is acceptable. Since we're in Ephesians, just turn back to Ephesians chapter 5 and talking about the acceptable will of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, we pick it up in verse 8. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." As you, how are we going to walk as children of light? Again, the Word of God. My Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God, it is light. And if we spend time in the light of the Word of God, we're able to walk as children of light, and we know what is acceptable. If our mind's not getting renewed by being in the Word of God, then we don't know what's acceptable. We don't know what God's will, His good will is. And so what's going to naturally happen? You do what the world does. It doesn't mean that, I'm not going to get caught up in a whole bunch of filthy sin like the world. Well, you know what? It can be a matter of just not doing anything. Sitting back and doing nothing. Being on the sidelines. Well, that's not acceptable to God as a Christian. He wants you in the battle. He wants you playing. You know, I'm not a sports guy. I played softball for 3 years. I mean, my brother was a baseball guy. I never even got to baseball. I played softball. And the third year I did this, I was actually having fun. Our team was winning, but we had a tyrant of a coach. And we're in a championship game for our league, and she pulled us off the field because we weren't playing that good and just chewed us out in front of everybody.
That was the last time I played softball.
I'm like, forget this. Forget this. You know. But you know what? If you're playing on a team, nobody likes to be on the bench. You want to get out there and play. I mean, that's why you're there. Okay? You know, how come we don't have that same attitude as Christians? It's like, sitting on the sidelines as a Christian is coming to church, sitting down, listening to some message, and that's it. You're not trained. You're not doing what it takes to get equipped so that you can turn around and edify and build up the believers. Understanding how you can take the truth of the Word of God and share it with others, to the lost, to the saved. You're not sitting there praying and seeking, God, what is your goodwill and what is acceptable? What would you have me to do? You're not sitting there praying those things and thinking those things. You're satisfied with just being on the sidelines. Why? Because your mind's not getting renewed. You're being conformed to the world instead of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's training. It's like karate. I got to be honest with you. I mean, by the time you get the brown belt, you're kind of looking to get in a fight. In a sense. I mean, it's like, does this stuff really work?
You know?
I want to see. On a job. Come on. I've been working on something. I want to try it out. You know, it's kind of a natural thing when you want to be able to use it. That sort of thing. Okay? Man, you know, that's what it should be like as a Christian. We shouldn't just be coming here, sitting on the sidelines and maybe getting fed and from the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, but never getting involved in the battle. You see, if your mind's not renewed, you don't understand what God's good will is and what His acceptable will is. And that's what we need to do. Walking as children of light, understanding what is acceptable. The good will of God, the acceptable will of God, the perfect will of God. Look at Colossians real quick. And get ready to close and sit down. Sound like a black preacher. I'm getting ready to close now. Have we got a witness? Okay, I better stop that. Colossians chapter 4. Look at Epaphras, down in verse 12. This is his prayer for those of Colossae. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That is such a rich prayer. And I mean, it speaks so much to Epaphras, being perfect and complete in all the will of God. What's the will of God for you as a child in your parents' home? What are you supposed to do? To stand perfect and complete in that. Your father, your husband, your wife, a mother. What's the will of God for those areas in that? Pray that we stand perfect and complete in that. That we never get to a place where, I think I've got it down now. I know what Ephesians chapter 5 says and so on. And I think I'm doing a fairly good job. I mean, I'm definitely better than my neighbor. I mean, man, he doesn't do anything or whatever. He's not even saved. No! Are you being the best husband you can be? Standing perfect and complete in the will of God in that area? The best wife that you can be? The best mother? The best father? The best child? The best student? The best employee? Employer? Supervisor? Whatever it is. Because the Word of God handles all that. So you get a mind renewed. Our mind renewed. Living sacrifice in every aspect of our life. I'll leave you with this one thing because hopefully you remember. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, happens to be 5 commandments in those 2 verses. And 5 is the number of death. And we're supposed to die daily, give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's not over and above. It's not the Navy SEALs of Christianity. That's what we ought to be doing. It's our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How does it start? The renewing of your mind. Thoughts, the attitude, the action. We have to wake up on a daily basis. You know what? My life is a living sacrifice. I'm on guard, ready to go as a Christian. When I go to work, I left work this morning. It's like, there's a lot going on for me last night because I arrested this drunk guy that had cocaine on him. And so that was my whole night from 2 o'clock all the way until I left that building. I still got to deal with it when I get back to work tonight. You know,
and it's like, when I left that building, okay, mine shut off the leasing. Turn on, I got to be thinking about this message I got to preach. I do not want to think about Mr. Drunk Guy. I need to be thinking about the Word of God. Okay? Because this is what I'm responsible to do.
But when I get back to work, again, I'm not shutting off the Word of God by any stretch of the means, but you know what? I have to have my policing mind on. I have to be to the place that, you know what? I'm arresting a drunk guy. He may get belligerent at any moment, and I can't take a chance to relax for a moment, because if he throws a punch at me, I want to be there to defend myself and deal with the situation. My mind has to be on when I'm doing my job as a police officer. But our job as a Christian is every day, every moment of the day. When you wake up, you better have your Christian mind on. Ready. Present your body a living sacrifice. God, I don't know what you got for me today, but I'm ready for it. Man, I'm in the Word of God. I'm praying, and I'm ready to go. Okay, is that an opportunity there? Oh, they said something about church. Oh, man, maybe I can get in on this conversation, and maybe I can have a chance to share what you've shown me. Your mind as a Christian has to be on. Instead of just waking up, oh, I guess I got this to do today at work and this or that, and I got to do this around the house. And this is out of sight, out of mind. I hope you take the things that were laid out today out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, really, and really be mindful of them. I want you to bear in mind the things that the Word of God is saying. I want you to put your mind to it. Some of those phrases that we started off with and talking about and what the world says, we're going to look at that and apply it for us biblically. I want you to leave this room today and not keep this message in mind. I want you to think about it. Why? Because it's a reasonable thing we ought to be doing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you and I do praise you for your word. God, you're faithful. And you're awesome. Your word is awesome. And I thank you for the privilege of being able to preach it. And of all the things that you have allowed me to do in just my 40 years of living and 21, 22 years of being saved, there is nothing like preaching your word. And Father, I pray that all of us would have the attitude that every day, every moment of the day, that we would be a living sacrifice. Because it's the reasonable thing. Nothing else should make any sense to do anything else but to serve you. And if everyone being honest with themselves, I know that when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I know there's going to be some regret of some of the stupid things that I've done or not living my life to the fullest and serving you every moment of the day. I know, I wish I would have served you more. Father, help us to have that attitude, to have that mindset that the Apostle Paul had, that we would fight a good faith, that we would finish the course that you have laid out for us, that we not get to the judgment seat of Christ and not complete what you have given us to do, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, help that to be our mindset on a daily basis. In Jesus' name.